CS seminar class notes, forward with the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy in the Massachusetts Metaphysical College, 1881 to 1898, published by End Time. This is Volume 1, Day 1, Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mary sought truth, the reality of being. Our first thought at all times must be our seeking and finding God. Seeking reality, the kingdom. Science and Health 291.13. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal. Because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the scriptures say. Heaven is described as a city in various references in the Bible. Why? A city represents safety. In a city, the welfare of the community was provided for. But heaven is more than just a city. A little bit of earth cannot possibly be large enough for the abode of intelligent thought, nor can a planet. The opening up and communication with another planet will be no more remarkable than the discovering of America, says Annie Knott. What appear to us as suns and planets represent spheres of intelligence, not bodies of non-intelligent matter. It has been affirmed that the universe is made up of stars and planets that are more in number than the sands of the sea, that they are in motion and their movements are in an orderly path. The Sentinel of December 28, 1912, page 328, titled Orbits, says in essence, one of the greatest wonders that has ever filled the human mind is the discovery that the celestial bodies move in definite paths, and they are relatively fixed. There is no interference, conflict, or collision. The planets move with a precision that compels the exclamation, Order is heaven's first law. Ms. Eddy says on page 240, Nature voices natural, spiritual law and divine love, but human belief misinterprets nature, and to this, she adds, suns and planets teach grand lessons. They do not move with a power of their own, though they seem to do so. They move in obedience to universal laws. All phenomena is proof of a cause, whether understood or not. Psalms 19, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Speech and language denote intelligence, celestial intelligence. The psalmist says that the understanding of the law, which governs God's ideas, that is, intelligence, is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Psalms 19:10. One of these laws is the fact that the various heavenly bodies move in orbits that are definitely fixed. Intelligence is always in harmonious motion and action. Each satellite, planet, sun, and star, from the most insignificant to the most stupendous, has its own place, its own path, its own part to perform in the universal work in praise of the Creator. Psalms 8:3-4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? Our own paths are governed by laws equally powerful to the laws that govern all the planets in each of their own specific orbits. Just as we are governed by our own individual paths every day, whether we recognize it or not, our paths are governed by laws of thought. Not only in simple matters, such as walking, but in the complex process of life development, these laws operate with almighty power. Stars are spheres of intelligent thought, not objects of matter. In Genesis 1:14-16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Scofield Reference Bible says the stars, in verse 16, are individual believers who are lights. That's on page 16. So stars also represent individuals. In the book of Revelations, Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22. And Jesus also said, to him that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. On Science and Health 125, the astronomer will no longer look up to the stars, he will look out from them upon the universe. We will be looking out from the stars in the realm of mind that is within each one of us. These spheres of intelligence are solid, tangible, spiritual bodies. We will communicate with these various planets throughout eternity. The process by which we will do so will be revelation. Miscellany 158, we live in an age of love's divine adventure to be all in all. Heaven is a place of love's divine adventure. It is not a place of stagnation and monotony. It is in motion and is occupied by spiritual beings endowed with spiritual strength, vigor, and the spirit of adventure. The Bible opens with two accounts of creation. The first is reality, the second an allegory, which is unreality. In the first chapter, the stars are in orbits moving on their courses in their divine adventures. We see the allness of God and his attributes manifested through man and nature, through stars, planets, constellations, suns, moons. These are wonderful spheres of intelligent thought. In the second, third, and fourth chapters of Genesis, it would appear that man was taken out of his spiritual orbit. Science and Health 565, after the stars sang together and all was primeval harmony, the material lie made war upon the spiritual idea. But this only impelled the idea to rise to the zenith of demonstration, destroying sin, sickness, and death, and to be caught up unto God, to be found in its divine principle. Like Elijah, John, the cousin of Jesus, went into the desert. He did this to carry out his mission of forerunner of Christ Jesus. The desert typified the conditions of the world according to the ancient prophecies, which said there would be a great judgment and God would destroy the earth. Prior to this destruction, however, there would come a Savior to help the human race escape the suffering of that time. John the Baptist gave as the theme of his sermons, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3:2. Repent comes from the Latin words pent, to think, and re, change. To think change is repent. To think change. The process of salvation was one of changing one's thinking. 6 months later, Jesus began his ministry with the same words as those of John, Matthew 4:17. The subject of his teaching and preaching was the kingdom. And he later stated that this gospel of the kingdom is to be preached throughout the world. Matthew 24. Page 19. The message was spiritual but simple. The human race was to find salvation from the self-destructing world by a process of changing one's thinking, not by looking for or relocating to another planet. The subject of Jesus' teaching and preaching was the kingdom. The message of salvation to change one's thinking is the system taught by the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's writings. Page 19 continues. Salvation. Salvation is a process, a mental process or journey. Moving from the land of bondage, which is material outer space, to the land of promise, which is mind space. That is, creation per Genesis 1. The kingdom of God is within you, and the material kingdom of matter is within you, that is, within mortal belief. Recognize that all is mind. Page 20. Recapitulation. Science and Health 465. Precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Absolute CS pervades the statements of the original 1875 textbook. What is meant by absolute CS? Neither God, man, nor the universe can be known or comprehended outside of science and revelation. The prophets, patriarchs, and apostles had faith in works. Today we have faith, science, and works. The absolute and the relative. Mrs. Eddy puts severe limitation on the use of the words absolute and relative. She often preferred the words the real and the unreal. The tendency of mortal mind is to extract statements of absolute truth from our leaders' writings while spurning the explanatory or relative logic leading up to them. We must value the expository or relative rules leading up to metaphysical finalities. Must value science and health with discrimination to get its value and unfoldment. Dictionary definitions of absolute: complete in and of itself, existing independent in and of itself, not relative, It also means unconditional, existent independently of any other cause, as God is absolute. That was absolute as an adjective. As a noun, it is the independent, unrestricted, and perfect being, God. It also means that God is perfect and unrestricted, a condition of perfection. Absolute as a noun is the condition of perfection. Relative. Relative means not absolute, not existing by itself. Relative tends to set up two bases of being, whereas actually there is only one. It mixes with error. There is never a time when truth and error mix. There is no such thing as relative being. You can make a relative statement, but you cannot establish a relative being. The only being is absolute. We also have absolute statements and relative statements. On nearly every page of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy deals with both the absolute and the relative, the spiritual and the human, the perfect principle and its correlative application to human affairs. Study to be alert to the absolute and the relative. There are no ambiguities in the textbook. Our mental work must be absolute or else we muddle and putter around. It is highly important to know their use, to know how to use the absolute and the relative. Continuing page 22. Citations on absolute and relative. Food does not affect the absolute life of man, because God is our life. Truth of mind healing uplifts mankind by acknowledging pure mind as absolute. The evidence of the senses are not absolute and therefore not real. Health is the consciousness of the unreality of pain and disease, or rather, the absolute consciousness of harmony and of nothing else. All men have one mind. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. Page 23. There can be but one mind because there is but one God. That is absolute. If mortals claim no other mind and accepted no other, sin would be unknown. That's relative. Absolute being is holiness, harmony, immortality. A relative statement is, a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals. Topic: in science and out of science. Absolute. In science, animal magnetism, mesmerism, or hypnotism is a mere negation possessing neither intelligence, power, nor reality. Now, relative. In sense, it is an unreal concept of the so-called mortal mind. In science, soul is properly the synonym of spirit or God, but out of science, soul is identical with sense, with material sensation. 24. We cannot work in science on a relative basis. We do not get the best effect of our metaphysical work if our metaphysical work is done from the relative standpoint. All our mental work must be based on the absolute. Topic: do not putter with the human. Divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea. Divine science is absolute and permits no halfway position in learning its principle and rule. Science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order. For right reasoning there should be but one fact before the thought, namely, spiritual existence. In reality, there is no other existence, since life cannot be united to its unlikeness, mortality. Judge Hannah writes, if we look at the absolute, entirely ignoring the human or relative, and pursue that method, we might say there never was a human Jesus, nor a human Mrs. Eddy, nor a human you or nor I. We might say there is no sin, no sickness, no death, no discord. Page 25. Mrs. Eddy carefully studied her absolute statements with relative explanation and distinctly enjoined her students to do so. She often enjoined me in that way when I was editor of the periodicals. Miss Laney 217, she addresses improved beliefs. In the last sentinel was the following question. If all matter is unreal, why do we deny the existence of disease in the material body and not the body itself? Answer. We deny first the existence of disease because we can meet this negation more readily than we can negative all that the material senses affirm. In Science and Health, an improved belief is one step out of error and aids in taking the next step and in understanding the situation in CS. Jesus does not require the last step to be taken first. He came to the world not to destroy the law of being, but to fulfill it in righteousness. He restored the diseased body to its normal action, functions, and organization. And in explanation of his deeds, he said, suffer it to be so now. Job said, in my flesh shall I see God. The Old nor the New Testament furnishes reason or examples for the destruction of the human body, but for its restoration to life and health as a scientific proof of God with us. The power and prerogative of truth are to destroy all disease and to raise the dead, even the selfsame Jesus. The spiritual body, the incorporeal idea, came with the ascension. Page 26. Jesus demonstrated the divine principle of CS when he presented his material body absolved from death and the grave. The introduction of pure abstractions into Christian Science without their correlatives leaves the divine principle of CS unexplained, tends to confuse the mind of the reader, and ultimates in what Jesus denounced, namely, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. From Science and Health 366, the physician who lacks sympathy for his fellow being is deficient in human affection, and we have the apostolic warrant for asking, he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Not having this spiritual affection, the physician lacks faith in the divine mind and has not that recognition of infinite love which alone confers the healing power. Such so-called scientists will strain out gnats while they swallow the camels of bigoted pedantry. Judge Hannah's letter continues, we must not fly so high that we lose sight of the plain teaching of the Bible and our textbook, not flatter ourselves that we can restate or redefine Mrs. Eddy's writings so as to make them clearer than she made them. Would you be warranted in substituting other writings for hers? Let us be careful on this point, for there is at present a strong inclination to take the periodicals and study them in lieu of our leader's writings, and even make them the basis of healing work. is much more important to spend our time in sincere effort to spiritualize our thought so that we shall be able to live right lives and do the works we are called upon to do. Evil is not a lie about anything, for it never existed as a thing. It has no entity whatever. Surely, no thing can be a lie about something, for that which does not exist cannot lie or do anything else. Jesus said, "The devil was a liar and the father of it." The only father truth is not its father, because there is no connection between a lie and truth. If a statement is made which has no basis in truth, there is no relation between that statement and the truth. Page 27. Therefore, is it in any true sense, even human, a lie about the truth? Is not Jesus' classification of a lie equivalent to saying that it is nothing, no thing? How then can it be related to truth? The only possible sense in which a lie can be said to be related to truth is that a lie may be believed to be true by one not knowing any better, but does that make it a lie about the truth? If so, how? It could not be a lie about the truth unless it could in some way be considered with the truth. How could one go about making such a connection? If I were to tell you that I rode a horse yesterday, when the truth is I have not been astride a horse for 40 years, would that be telling you a lie about anything that ever occurred? It would simply be telling a lie about a lie, would it not? Such lies can be told in millions of ways for millions of years, but that would not make them true. Therefore, from no possible point of view, is it correct to say that a lie is always a lie about something? Hence I repeat that absolutely it is not possible to lie about truth, and relatively it is not possible to talk about evil at all without telling a lie about a lie. Topic: distinctly, differently, different. In the November 88 primary class, Zeddy taught that there can be no mixing of the first and second chapters of Genesis, the absolute and the relative. There is a distinct difference between the two. She said they are distinctly, differently, different. Page 28. Scholastic theology blends the first and second chapters of Genesis. Christendom, in general, believes in blending the two chapters, and Christian scientists, over a period of time, came to the same mental process of mixing the two through the variant teaching. Whereas Mrs. Eddy states that they are distinctly, differently, different. She states in Science and Health, "Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick, and with it you can speak as one having authority." Science and Health 14. Miss Laney 242, "You are scientifically correct in your statement about yourself. You can never demonstrate spirituality until you declare yourself to be immortal and understand that you are so. Christian science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. It is at this point and must be practiced therefrom. Unless you fully perceive that you are the child of God, hence perfect, you have no rule for its demonstration. By this, I do not mean that mortals are the children of God. Far from it. In practicing Christian Science, you must state its principle correctly or you forfeit your ability to demonstrate it. Topic: Science. The word science has been wrongfully and deceptively appropriated by materialists and claimed to have relation only to physical causes and their phenomena. Quite a shock was felt when it was first applied to religion. The fact is that real science applies only to mental causes and mental phenomena. It relates only to the realm of thought, the realm of mind. Page 29. There is no such thing as physical science. Webster defines science as ascertained truth, and many other accompanying definitions. CS fulfills every demand of these definitions. It is a provable or demonstrable truth and operates solely in the realm of thought. The facts of the universe that are open to investigation are mental and spiritual facts. It is clear that science must have a principle. Webster defines principle as the cause, source, origin of anything, that from which a thing proceeds. In science, an admitted truth. CS has one principle. It has admitted truth as its principle. It has admitted truth that there is one God, that God is infinite, and He is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. God is spirit, God is love, God is life, God is good, God is the one cause or principle. Page 30. The Great Revelation. Science comes from the Latin root meaning to know. Science, then, is knowing of God. Christian means teachings and religion of Christ Jesus. Mrs. Eddy defines Christian Science in Rudimental Divine Science as the law of God, the law of good, interpreting and demonstrating the divine principle and rule of universal harmony. CS is not only a revelation of God, but the final revelation. Page 31. This final revelation came through reason and demonstration. The same method comes to each one of us through revelation, reason, and demonstration. Topic: Reason. Mrs. Eddy tells us that reason is a human faculty. It is neither absolute nor divine. Reason can seem to coincide with error and material sense as well as with revelation. But for humanity to obtain the revelation of God, reason must be rescued from material sense and physical science and made to coincide with revelation. Page 32. Topic: Reason and Revelation. When we reconcile our reason with revelation, we drop off the false beliefs contained in physical science and philosophy, and the revelation of God appears. Science and Health 108. Whence came to me this heavenly conviction, a conviction antagonistic to the testimony of the physical senses? According to St. Paul, it was the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. It was the divine law of life and love, unfolding to me the demonstrable fact that matter possesses neither sensation nor life, that human experience shows the falsity of all material things, and that immortal cravings, the price of learning love, establish the truism that the only sufferer is mortal mind, for the divine mind cannot suffer. Page 33. Now, mortal mind suffers because of its own false conclusions based on material knowledge, reasoning based on material sense testimony. Page 33. Is there any physical science? No. Because man and the universe are the effect, the product of God's knowledge of himself. Knowledge, that is, divine science. And this universe and man appear only in this science or revelation of God. Mortal mind seems to counterfeit this divine understanding and its consequent divine creation with a material world and a mortal man, which appear only to false sense, and is the supposititious effect of false knowledge and false reasoning. Topic: revealed truth versus rationalistic truth. Rationalistic truth appeals only to physical senses. Revealed truth is for the spiritual senses. Rationalistic means to explain a thing by reasoning from material appearance. Mortal mind claims that truth is explained according to reasoning from sense testimony. Page 34. The difference between the various religions and that from the revelation of Christ Jesus is that the revelation from Christ Jesus has the which is the revelation of truth, has power. Power to heal sickness and to raise the dead. The life-giving element in it is a vitality, a surging force, a power. Rationalistic truth, that is, looking for truth in matter, lacks power. It's a total absence of power. It's the absence of the revelation of truth. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. The nature and quality of truth advocated by Jesus is vitality and power. This was demonstrated in his resurrection and ascension. Not to mention the unlimited spiritual sense that was demonstrated in his healing work. Everything that he did and everything he taught was demonstrable. Therefore, it was not just a doctrine or a theory. It was demonstrable science. The last few ideas were from Christian Science, its healing mission, published in the Christian Science Journal by Bliss Knapp, December 1908, page 513. Primitive Christianity is the only demonstrable religion known to mankind. And that's what Christian Science is. Page 35. Topic: revelation. The only way humanity can acquaint itself with God is through revelation. Reveal means unveil. It's the act of revealing or communicating divine truth, the manifestation of God or of his will to man through a wondrous act, teaching, healing, and so on. Revelation is also defined as that which contains or affords such revelation, specifically the Bible, and this would include science and health. So revelation is the revealing truth from God. It's God's image or thought of himself expressed. Divine mind revealing itself in spiritual ideas and is infinite because God is. We know God by his manifestation in our lives. That gives us the greatest conviction when it's individually demonstrated. by seeing it manifested in our lives. This is individual life. It's not personal life. Page 36. Topic: Revelation and Inspiration. Reflection equals give back an image or likeness of. Meekness equals absolute obedience to God, surrender of self to God. Idea equals to see. An idea gives back an image or likeness of God to him. That is, he sees himself in his reflection. Truth cannot be found in the material universe, for this universe does not give back any image or likeness to God, who is truth. It is not the revelation of God. It is the seeming expression of error. Inspiration equals breathe into. God breathed into man the breath or inspiration of divine life, and man responded to this act of God or became conscious of God. Without this act of inspiration, there would be no creation or revelation. So this breathing into is inspiration. It is the act of God communicating his thoughts of himself to man, and man becoming conscious of or answering back or reflecting God. This is the process of God's revelation. Revelation and inspiration are inseparable, and both are eternal. Therefore, life consists in the eternal revealing of God in his names. It is the unfolding of the conscious facts of God, of his attributes and character in our consciousness as we increase our understanding of him. Thus we understand the words of the Master when he said that to know God is eternal life. That knowing of God is the whole of our being. It's the end of this MP3, which is at the top of page 37.